Well, today we're going to embark upon a new subject, new year, new subject. Amen. And the Lord deeply impressed upon my heart to share with you in this area, understanding the value of prayer. Understanding the value of prayer. Amen. Now I'm going to take you into some areas that perhaps you've never been in before, because I've never been in it either. Just sit down at my desk and the Lord started speaking to me about certain things. And I was blessed. And I trust today that each of you will be blessed. Amen. All right. Most of us, no doubt, have heard about prayer, all of our lives. We've heard about prayer. I can go way back, somewhere when I was about 7, 8. My grandmother, she taught me the Our Father prayer. And I remember praying that prayer for a very long time, you know. And it was my prayer. I don't care what I got into, I would say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. How many of you were like that? Amen. When they said pray, that's all I knew to pray. I didn't pray my problem. And if I would have known better, I would have. I said, Lord, I got all kinds of situations working here. Could you please help me? But I didn't know it. I didn't know it, you know. All I knew was, Our Father which art in heaven. Amen. If I got in trouble, all I knew was, Our Father which art in heaven. Amen. Amen. Now, we've heard about prayer basically now all of our lives. Amen. But now, what have we understood about it? Now, that's the question. What have we understood about prayer? I guarantee you we could say not much. Not much at all. See, we haven't understood a whole lot about it. I believe the growth of this church, to a large extent, has come from prayer. You know? And what you understand becomes very valuable to you. Because if you can understand a thing, it becomes valuable to you. But it also gives you a motivation to do with the consciousness of accomplishing. Hallelujah. If I know what I'm doing, understand what I'm doing, then I can accomplish something. Hallelujah. Now, I came in the church in the early, mid part of the 70s. And I came into what they call a praying church. These people did so much praying until You turn blue. These were the prayingest people I ever seen. And then they had and boy, I'm telling you, the bulk of what we did was pray. And so I came into that, but yet I didn't understand much about it. Amen. I picked up a book years ago. I can tell you, I picked up the book in 1977. It was called The Wonderful Name of Jesus. And I picked up that book. The book was written by Kenneth E. Hagin. And I picked that book up and I read that book, and it was talking about how we're to pray in the name of Jesus and things of that nature. Now, that was the first time that I got some insight about prayer. Now, I got the insight. See, you can get insight on things and it's years after before you understand it. You know. One preacher said, you tell the books you read? Yeah. He said, man, I don't tell them the books I read. I don't care. I mean, shucks, it took me, I read the book, but it took me 5 years to understand what it was saying. So I don't bother me, you know. I want you to have the knowledge and understanding. I want you to be exposed to what I've been exposed to. And you understand why I talk the way I talk. Amen. But now, there's not a whole lot, when you look at it from an overall perspective, that the church understands about prayer, even the church. But now here's what I found. Here's what I found about this thing that blessed me. I had a sense to pray long before I got saved. Amen. And most of you were like me. You have a sense to pray even before you got saved. You had a sense to pray. Now, God is the one who created us. And some, in his way, he wired within us prayer. Now, even an atheist pray. You know, when he get in deep trouble, he pray. See, because we're wired that way. Prayer is something that's wired within us. See, we had a sense to pray even before we got saved. See, you just get a sense to pray. Amen. Now, I believe this with all my heart. There were people who prayed for me. Prayer kept me out of Vietnam. Hallelujah. I come very close to it, but prayer kept me out of there. Amen. And I'm thankful to God for people who pray. But I also had a sense to pray. I prayed to our Father prayer just about every day. All during the day. Hallelujah. And that in itself, you see, was a blessing. But what I'm trying to get you to see and understand that prayer is wired within us all. Whether we're saved or unsaved. Amen. People who don't know Jesus as their Savior still have a sense of prayer. Now, what happens when we get to know Jesus? When Jesus become our Savior? You see, what happens then? Listen, if I had a sense to pray when I was unsaved, what you think happened when I get saved? Amen. The heart convicts me. My heart convicts me. I have a conviction about prayer now. I have a conviction about it. But it doesn't mean I'll do it. But I have a conviction of it. In my knower, I know I should pray. And it's not just a sense of prayer. It's a conviction about prayer now. Amen. To some people, you know, prayer is the most boring thing they ever ran into. But when you understand it, it's not. Prayer brings the presence of God in your life, and it brings you into the presence of God. There's nothing boring about being in the presence of God. But there are certain things that you don't understand, and because you don't understand certain things, have you ever tried to do something that you didn't understand? It's boring, isn't it? You're ready to depart with that quick. You know, forget it. You know why? Because, see, you can't get nothing out of anything you don't understand. Are you listening? Amen. How many of you guys play golf? How many of y'all play golf? You play golf? Amen. That's all right. For the most part, none of you guys play golf. Why? It's boring. She said, it's boring. To most of you, golf is boring. And you know why it's boring? You don't understand. Hallelujah. See, what you don't understand, you can't enjoy. And if you can't enjoy something, it's boring. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that point. See, it's very hard to do anything that you don't have a good understanding about. It's just very hard. And hard things are boring. Amen. You follow me so far? Now, I want to show you something here that may bless you real good. God created us, like I told you, He wired us to pray. Now, when the human spirit is recreated, it has a conviction about prayer. Prayer is a part of the recreated spirit. See, prayer is a part of the recreated spirit. Now, what am I talking about? When a man receives Christ, his spirit is recreated. Now, that's what makes us new creatures in Christ. The fact that our spirits are recreated. When the moment you receive Christ into your life, your spirit man is recreated. Prayer is a part of the recreated spirit. Hallelujah. God bless you. Look at this here. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to mess you up about all the stuff you think you know about prayer. About to mess you up real good. But I'm telling you the truth. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, notice now, he is a what? He's a new creature. Now listen, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things become new. Amen. Now, that's clear. That's clear, isn't it? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, or he's a new creature. Amen. Now notice, any man be in Christ, new creature. Inside of being a new creature is an established prayer life. inside of becoming a new creature is an established prayer life. Now, where do I become a new creature at? In my mind? No. In my body? No. But in my spirit. See, I become a new creature in my spirit. So, inside of my spirit is an established prayer life. If you have received Jesus into your heart, into your life, the inside of your spirit is already an established prayer life. Now, becoming a new creature is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. So everything takes place in my spirit. Now remember, man is a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. The spirit part of man is the real man. The soul is where his intellect, will, and emotions lies. The body is the house that he lives in. Now listen, in my spirit, the moment I became a new creature in Christ was an established prayer life. Now, notice what he says. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now listen, old things pass away. And all things become new. Did he say that? He said, all things become new. Where? In my spirit. So, in my spirit, you see, an established prayer life is one of those new things. You say, well, Pastor, why? I'm not excited about prayer. You don't work from the inside. See, you haven't learned how to draw from the inside. You see, you still move by everything outside, but not anything inside. Now, if you don't get anything out of what I'm saying today, please get this. There is an established prayer life in every man, every woman that have become a new creature in Christ. It's already established. Now, how to walk in what's already established, that becomes key. Because that's not automatic. See, you don't automatically walk in what's established in you. See, some of y'all are going to have to get to heaven and let Jesus tell you all these things were already in you. Then probably his next question, why you ain't walking it? And I know what you're going to say. I know how. But we're about to mess you up on that issue. See, here's one of the things that you got to understand. When you meet Jesus, you won't have any excuse. So if you start lying, there you go. Now, you don't realize every Sunday you come in here, every Thursday you come in here, Jesus is actually taking away every excuse you can possibly give him. Yes, 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 sir. Yes, ma'am. He's taking that away from you. One scripture say, a liar will not tarry in his sight. So you can't lie to him. You can't lie to him. Isn't that something? He already knows everything. And then you won't have no excuse because he sent you the truth by the way of your teaching and by the way of the preaching that you're receiving. Well, that you're hearing. Got it? Now, want to show you something here. Want to show you something. Amen. Amen. Now, boy, this stuff is so much fun. Bless your socks off. It's fun to learn the truth, man. Amen. Jesus said, he is of the truth, heareth me. I guess y'all of the truth. Now, go to the book of Ephesians. Now, remember what I said to you. One of the new things is an established prayer life. Now, I want to show you. I'm going to show you how it all works. Now, but tell the person next to you, say, I have an established prayer life within me. Now, if you don't believe nothing else I said, if you don't receive nothing else I said, receive that. Yes, sir. It's for real. Now, the thing is already established. Now, watch this. Ephesians 1:3. We can stay with the King James. Now, watch. I want you to see this. I want you to see it. Now, listen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch this now. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, the first thing I want you to pay attention to in this verse is the tense. See, we are already blessed. See, we don't have to be blessed. It's already done. That's the first thing I want you to notice here. See, he says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, right? That's been done. An established prayer life, see, is a spiritual blessing. It is a spiritual blessing. Yes, it is. By all means. You see. Hallelujah. Now, the verse is actually saying, we who are in Christ Jesus has been blessed with all spiritual blessings. This has already happened. It happened the moment we received Christ. An established prayer life is a spiritual blessing. You have an established prayer life within you. See this is something that's within. It's not something that's without. Now everything without you can touch, feel, see, and taste. But everything that's within, see, you can't do that. All right? I have it. What do I have? I have an established prayer life. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to automatically pray. Because I have this prayer life, don't mean I'm automatically be a Superman in prayer. Doesn't mean that. She doesn't mean that at all. Now, why? Why? It's established within me, but it's not established in my everyday walk as a Christian until I hear the word on it. See? It's established within me, but it's not established in my everyday walk. Why it's not established in my everyday walk? Because, number one, see, I haven't heard the word on it. Nothing becomes established in your everyday walk as a Christian until you hear the word on it. And yet, all of these things are within us, but they're not established in our everyday walk until we hear the word on it. You see, until we hear the word on it. If you don't hear the word on it, even though the thing is in you, but it'll never be established in your everyday walk as a Christian until you hear the word on it. Are you listening? See, I've got to hear the word on any given thing if it's going to be established in my everyday walk. See, it's not established in my everyday walk because it's established in me. It's established once I hear. It can become established once I hear the word on it. That's why I tell you, you can't fool around when it comes to hearing the word. You cannot have a disinterest in the word. Are you still with me? Now, until I hear the word on it. Until I hear the word on it. Go to Romans 10:17. And then, Ava, I want you to look up in Mark 4. I think it's Mark 4, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, where he says, take heed to how you hear. All right? Yeah. Now I want to do this one first, then we're going to come to that. If I skip it, call me, because we can't miss this. Now I want you to pay attention to some things here that's very important. You see, we know we should pray. We know that. That's an established fact in our consciousness that we should pray. And we have accomplished some things through basically what we know about prayer. But we can run it into a situation where we make it strictly traditional. There are certain things that we must understand about prayer to be effective in prayer. Now, these things that I'm talking to you about today, see, you've got to understand these things to be effective in prayer. Amen. Now, we're going to start a prayer thing, of course, in this year. But one of the things that I believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to do is to be very effective in what we're doing where prayer is concerned. So he's unveiling some things that we need to know. And one of the things that we need to know is in the fact that we already have an established prayer life. Yes, sir. See, we need to know that. And we need to go in prayer understanding that you and I have an established prayer life. So we're not just drawing from what we think. We're drawing from the inside, which gives us not only a consciousness, but a serious knowing about what we're doing. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You see, prayer is supposed to yield great results. For the Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It makes tremendous power available. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look at this here. Where we at? Romans 10:17, right? That's where we are. Let me check it out on my chart. Now, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, there's another translation that I like better than this King James translation. I just can't remember the name of the translation, but I remember what it said. There's another translation that says, faith is activated by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is activated. Now, to me, that's a more accurate translation. Because like I've shared with you, the word says we've all received the measure of faith. So if we've received it, then we have it. So if we have the measure of faith, then faith doesn't have to come. We already possess it. You see? And it makes a difference in how we approach things if we already know we have something. You still with me? You still with me? So I like that translation because I believe it's a more accurate translation. Faith is activated by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you listening? Now, let me go back to my chart. See what we're talking about. Amen. Show faith in God and the things of God is activated by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, what he's doing here is introducing to us a principle. Now, faith cometh by hearing and hearing. And then, see, we could put this to it and not take the verse out of context. Faith cometh by hearing and 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 hearing. I could do that the rest of my session. Now, we see it there twice. Faith coming by hearing and hearing. Now, I told you in some of our previous sessions, that means I hear the word in the preach form or taught to me. I hear it, and then I go back and I hear it again. The second hearing is me hearing. I mean, I heard it. I heard it from the preaching. Now I'm going to hear it from my meditation of what was preached to me. I hear it, and I hear it. Now, what all that does? Now, let me go back through my little process so you can understand what I'm talking about. Now, listen, I hear it. Pastor teaching it. I heard what he said. Now I'm going to take what he said, then I'm going to take it home with me, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. Now I'm preaching what he preached. I'm preaching it to me now. I'm going to hear it and 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 hear it. Now what happens in that process? What I hear enough, I begin to see. Now, when I see it, understanding comes with seeing. I understand now. See, when you see something in the natural, right? When you see something in the natural, right? Guess what happens? You understand it most of the time. What you see, you understand. Amen. I was They have algebra now, fifth grade. I didn't get it until I was in 11. Whew, I had a fight with that. This teacher of mine's, she was standing up at the board. I remember her name, Miss Jenkins. I knew the language, but I didn't understand nothing she was saying. You ever been there? Now, I had to pass this test. I had to pass algebra to go to my last year. In high school, you see, I had to get it. You see. So what I did, they had a program where you could have tutors for those things you were having problems with. So I got into that program, and I got a tutor to help me to understand algebra. Now my tutor didn't just stand at the board. She went over those things with me. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. Then she went back. 1, 2, 3, 4. She said, Adam, you got it? Now look, see what I'm doing? This is 1. Then that's 2. And all of a sudden, a light went off on the inside of me. And I remember, I said, I got it! None of y'all had that experience, huh? See, I got it. You ever somebody who takes the time with you and go over a thing with you? I mean, long as that guy up there teaching, you don't get it. But if you get somebody, your buddy or a tutor, whoever you get who understand the thing, they take time. They got to take time with you. And then all of a sudden, you get it. So I found out, you see, this thing is not but formulas. So I got it. And I was so excited. I got it. I can see it. I couldn't wait to see Miss Jenkins again. I'm talking about in the class. And I remember her words to me. She said, you finally got it, huh? I said, yes, I got it. I finally got it. See, the word of God is the same way. See, now, see, it's God teaching us how to get it. Now, the principle is hearing it again and again and again and again. Then you get it. You can see it. Now, here's what people don't really understand. A lot of people think they're in faith, but they're not. See, faith is not activated until you can see it. So God sends you through a process of hearing it and 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 hearing it until you can see it. Sometimes I get tickled at y'all sometimes, you know. Y'all start coming here and listen to me from week to week. Then you go buy a book on this and a book on that and a book on that. You ain't gonna get nothing because you can't see nothing. If I can get you to see something, you'll tear that book up. Because the principle is in seeing. You got to see it. See, another thing that people also believe, they believe that faith is without understanding. Faith is not without understanding. Faith works by what you understand. Say, well, look, you don't have to understand it. Just take it by faith. You don't even know if you're taking it by faith. See, I've been there, done all of that. I've made more mistakes than you can shake a stick at. But mistakes is a part of learning. Now, all y'all who scared to make mistakes, you're not going to learn anything. And all you who can't be taught the right way after you make a mistake, I'm talking about unteachable people. When somebody tell you that's wrong. Yeah, it's still wrong. Amen. So you got folks like that, you know, and then they can't be wrong. You're wrong. That doesn't work like that. If you're not open to that kind of stuff, then you can't learn anything. You really can't learn anything like that. Amen. Amen. Because you read a book, you think you know it. No. You don't learn anything till you see it. See, you don't learn anything till you see it. You don't learn anything till you see it. And that's what the process is, see? The process of seeing it is hearing it. And hearing it. And hearing it. And hearing it. See, listen, there are certain personality types that you have need to change. Certain things in your character need to change. They ain't changed yet. Now, it don't mean you don't love God, but see, you don't see the word enough where it could get in there and help you change that. Now, here's what happened to people who sit under the word any length of time. It don't mean they're learning everything, but they think they know everything. And see, even when I'm teaching, they're not sitting to learn, they're sitting to judge. I don't receive that. You don't know enough to do that. God put you at the mercy of a shepherd. That's why he gave him to you. He gave you, the Bible says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for your learning purpose. Now, the day you know more than me, you need to go establish your stuff. But that day don't come unless I quit. See, I'm qualified by him to teach you. If I wasn't, you wouldn't be here. He wouldn't allow it to be. Now, that don't mean I'm perfect in everything. But the word that he anointed me to see and understand, that's perfect. We need to get our eyes off people and get our eyes on the word. To the degree that we're practicing it. So we can see that what I'm receiving is actually fruitful. Productive. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. If you didn't have a teacher who taught you ABCs, you couldn't read nor write. If you can read or write, thank God for somebody who taught you. Now, I'm not trying to make this about me. I'm just trying to make you see that. See, all of this is predicated on how you receive. Receiving brings me into understanding. Understanding brings me into productivity. I'm productive. My life as a Christian now is productive. I'm starting to see that in reality, old things really have passed and all things become new. Because see, I'm not ministering to your head. I'm ministering to your spirit. Amen. If you receive these words, then it destroys all that wrong thinking. Now, let's get back here. Y'all still here? Y'all show? All right. Okay. Don't need no band-aids. Amen. Now,
Ava, then I told you to get a scripture, huh?
Now, I'm going to go back to this. Then we go on to her scripture. What you hear over and over and over again. Now, I'm not responsible for you hearing it over and over again. I build your foundation and then you work that. Now, you've got to get into the habit of hearing what's been said to you through preaching and teaching again, over and over and over and over. Now, what happens in that process? The eyes of my understanding is enlightened. Now, he's not talking about the understanding of your head. He's talking about the understanding of your heart. Now, watch. We're in the book of Ephesians, right? Chapter 1, right? Right? Where we at? Romans? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 again. I'm coming back, boo. I'm coming back. Now, here's what I want you to see. Now, here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see. Ephesians 1, 17. Watch. It said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, the knowledge of him is the knowledge of the word, because he and the word are one. Now watch, go to verse 18. Now, verse 18 is the key verse I want you to see. He says, the eyes, see it, of your understanding being enlightened. Now, what's the process of the eyes of my understanding being enlightened? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. See? And then I'll get to a place where I can see. Now, when I see, I'm seeing with the eyes of my understanding. Can you see what I'm saying? Can you see what I'm saying? Can you see it? Now, the devil wants us to believe we're too busy or it's boring to keep hearing the same thing over and 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 over. I can't do that. Then you'll never see. People who can see, they're not just hanging in there. They're walking it. Now, you just won't hang in there. That's up to you. That's all. That's, you know, that's up to you. Nobody can't force you to do anything. That's up to you. It all depends on what you want out of this. And some of y'all don't want nothing out of this yet. So nothing really means nothing yet. But if you live and keep living, it's going to change. Because life will beat you to death. And only the only way to stop life from beating you is the word. So, you know, y'all don't bother me. You want it, you don't. You want it. You don't, you don't. I ain't bothered by that. Boom. I'm preaching to the ones that want it right now. And you'll become one of them after a while. Because life will take its effect on you. Life is a hard teacher. It is not merciful, nor is it kind. And the only way to stop life from beating your tail is the word. It's the sword of the spirit. When you get beat up enough, you turn to the word. Yes. One way or the other, you know. Life will kill you or you'll turn. Amen. That's just the way it is. Amen.
It's not fun getting whipped all the time. It's not fun being defeated all the time. And somewhere we're turned. We're turned. Somewhere we're turned. Are you listening? See, I got to hear and hear. That's why I keep telling you, it don't matter how long you've been in church. It's what you've been doing in church. Huh? It's what you're learning from it. People pride themselves on 44 years. I don't see it. Amen. Listen, your mama called you stubborn. Your daddy called you stubborn. Even God know you're stubborn. God knew it before any of them. Some of y'all you're just not going to change what you're doing. You're not going to change it. Even though it's not benefiting you, you're still not going to change it because you just like to do it that way. That's crazy. Amen. It's crazy. You see, now I hope nobody get offended, but I'm telling you, even with couples, they don't want the problem solved. They just won't talk about it. And they want to show you who wrong. It don't matter who wrong. The objective here is to stop it, straighten it up. Your satisfaction, he wrong, she wrong. What you get out? What you going to get? What we going to get out that? Okay, he wrong. What are we going to do now? She wrong. What are we going to do now? Well, you go to somebody and you're talking about getting counsel. What you want to resolve the problem. You want to get rid of that. So what do we need to do to get rid of this situation that we face with? Nobody won't hear that. Amen. Nobody really won't hear that. Because we don't want it solved. I want her to feel bad. I want him to feel bad about what he did to me. Well, him feeling bad ain't going to change him. Amen. What are we looking for? We're looking for change. Oh, dear Jesus. Now, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, look, that ye may what? That ye may know. When I see, I know. I have the surety of a thing when I know it. When I see, I know. When the eyes of my understanding is enlightened, I know. Hallelujah. Now, watch this here. Watch this here. Give me that verse you're supposed to have for me. Mark 4:24, King James. I'm running for time now. And he said unto them, now watch now, take heed what you hear. Amen. Don't sit in here and be no casual here. Be serious about what you hear. See, be serious about what you hear. Because everything you hear affects your life one way or the other. Now listen, he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. God is awesome. God said, I ain't wasting my word on you. See, some of y'all getting the word today because some of y'all want to hear it. Some of y'all don't care about hearing it. But you're getting blessed because of somebody else. Well, you don't even know you're blessed. But I want you to see, it's what you put in the thing. It's what you're getting out of it. Boy, I don't have time to fool with it. Need to read this verse on Amplified. Are you still with me? Now, go to 2 Peter 1:3. Oh, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. I love this here. Where am I at in time? Anybody know? Nope, nobody know? Okay, that's good. Then we'll just flow. I got 5 minutes? All right, sis, I have 5 minutes. I need to wrap this up in 5 minutes. Amen. Now I want you to see this here. I want you to see this here. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us, now watch now, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge, now watch, of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, notice the tense. He's already done it. See, he's already done it. See, we have to begin to approach things like they're already done. Not like they have to be done. See, that's the difference. See, we have to approach things like they are already done. You see, in most cases, we're not approaching things like they're already done. We're approaching things like they have to be done. And that's not so. See, he's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, godliness is about spiritual things. Now, we read Ephesians 1:3. He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Here we have godliness. He has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, godliness is the spiritual things. Life is the natural physical things. Amen. He's already prospered you. All your needs are already met. See, but it makes a difference is how you approach him. Now he says, through the knowledge of him. See, through the knowledge of him. Now, the knowledge of him, again, can be translated through the knowledge of the word. Because him and the word are one. Got it? So, now, what is he actually saying here? Amen. According to the word, he has given us all things. You see? He has given us all things. See? Now, how we know that? Through the knowledge of the word. Now, the word carries his divine power. So he has given us, already given us. So we're asking for something, and Jesus is saying, and God is saying, the Father is saying, what? I gave that to him already. Why are they keep asking me about giving them something I've already given them? See, I've done that already. But you see, they don't have knowledge of him. And because they don't have knowledge of him, they don't know what they have. See, they don't know what they have. Huh? Now, see, that process comes into focus again. Hearing. Now, through that process, we begin to see. When we see, we know. Faith is activated. You see, faith is activated. See, look it up for yourself. The word believe is a verb. The word faith is a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. A verb is an action word. Am I right? Now, here's what I want you to see. He said, now, once I see it, see, faith is activated. See, the force of faith is activated once I see it. Amen. Now, I don't see it in the natural, but I see it through the eyes of my understanding, which I see it in my spirit. I see it through my spirit. So what I see in my spirit, my faith is activated. Because I know. What I know, I have faith in. See, faith is not without understanding. See, we've taught faith like it was without understanding. Yeah, we just got it by faith. You got to understand what you have by faith. Then you can put faith to what you understand. See, faith is applied to what I understand, what I see, what I know. See, faith is a force. It's a thing. See, it's a force. I hear people say this all the time. They say, I'm believing for. That means that thing getting away farther and farther and farther away from you. You believe for? So you telling me you're believing for something you don't have. And if you keep believing for it, guess what? It's getting moving farther and farther away from you. I got to let y'all go. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Huh? I ain't believing for it. I believe I have it. See, you can't believe for, because everything you believe in for, you saying you don't have it. And if you don't have it, it's constantly moving farther and farther away from you. I believe I have it. I'm not believing for. When you hear people say, I'm believing for my healing, it's moving farther and farther away from me. I believe I will have my healing. I'm not believing for my healing. I believe I have it. I'm believing for a great marriage. It's moving further and further away from you. I believe I have a marriage. Great marriage. My name is Adam Richardson, Senior, and I'm out of time. God bless you. Well, my sister said I had 5 minutes. I did it, huh, sister? I received. Was that 5 minutes, sister? Where's she at? That was 5 minutes?